You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Greetings to all the tribes of Israel who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples. And there's no Jews in the tribes of Israel. Well, it's good to be back this week as Yahweh continues to educate us and to propel us towards wisdom and knowledge, saving knowledge. The title of this message is Wisdom's Child Part 4. You know, just because the title goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, doesn't mean that they're not all equally important. As you will see, each week has its own importance. And I'll be sharing with you things that Yahweh has shown me. And I'm very grateful to Him for it. Before we go into the message itself, you know I always speak on some things. First of all, I'd like to thank those who have donated. Appreciate it very, very much. It really does help. Also, I want to speak to the accusers of the brethren out there. I don't think you're quite getting the message. If you cause trouble and try to cause splits, and you keep on drudging up this old nonsense, you'll be booted off the channel. Goodbye. Go hang around with the dividers and the troublemakers. We don't need you here. Okay, there's something I want to address. After hearing William Pierce speak on something that really is important for us to get a grasp of. My question to all of you, and it goes for myself as well, how long will you play along with the Jews' illusions? How long are we going to pretend that these illusions are real? For the fear of the Jews, I do understand. But you know, I want to make it known to you, in case you might not have known. Many, many, many people feel the way that I do. And never mind the feel. Many, many people believe the same thing I do. Whether they will say it or not, that's another thing altogether. But you may feel that you are a minority in the way you feel about things and what you believe. But I'm going to tell you that secretly, there are a lot of people just sitting on the fence waiting to jump in. They just want to see it go over the middle line. They're ready. They already know a lot of the things we know. Maybe not about the Israelite message. But for instance, I'll give you some examples. The money game. We all know that that money's not real, yet we play like it is. And we play along with it that it is. And I understand why people play along. I do understand. They've generated a lot of this false money. And to lose it, it would be destructive. I do understand that. How about the all races are equal game? How many people do you believe? How many people do you think out there believe that all races are equal. For real. That's my point. I am not going to play along with that illusion. I'm not going to play like it's real. I'm not going to say it's real because it's not real. It never was real, and it never can be real. Oh, yes, in your corporate meeting. Yes, it's very real. Yes. So how long will we play along with these games? Let me give you another one. You know right well that all races are not equal. And if you don't know that all races are not equal, you need some education. I mean, just using your eyes and watching what the other races do, you know they're not equal. They're not equal to us. They never have been. All races were called sub-races up until the present, I don't know how many years, whenever the Jews decided. You remember they had the brotherhood nonsense I mentioned from time to time? That was when they started the all races are equal. In other words, the Negro is your brother. He's equal to you. Now, I've told you before, a gorilla could stomp you into the ground or an elephant could crush you to death. That doesn't mean make him equal to you. Understand that. It's a question of knowing who you are and who you came from and where you will be going, as opposed to these other races. We have a hybrid in the corporate office of the United States. Do you know where he's going? He's not equal to you. He doesn't qualify as being a president. He's no better than you are. And as a matter of fact, he's going to be bundled up and burned with the rest of the Jews and the Freemasons who go against their race and the liberals who are traitors to their race and the military and the police that are traitors to their race. You'll all be bundled up and burned. And it doesn't make me happy that my race, there'll be people in my race that will be bundled up and burned. However, if you've acted like a Jew and you've turned your back on your race just for some of this false money I told you about, the illusion money, the money that you think is real but is not real, it's just a piece of paper. So let's think about the multicultural game. Now, in Europe and in America, the majority has risen up against this multicultural nonsense. Or at least a good portion. And as more rise up, those that are on the fence that were afraid to say to express their real opinion, to say what they really believed about it, begin jumping off the fence. This is what I'm talking about. You see, we don't want a multicultural America. Oh, there are people here that are brainwashed that do want it until they get conked in the head with a brick by one of these lovely races, or until they get shot dead. Then they learn that the multicultural game isn't what they thought it was. You see, because they're believing in ideals rather than believing in the facts of what's really going on. They're unaware of the hatred that is being pushed on them on a daily basis by these other races that were trained by the Jews to do this very thing. You see, the Jews knew that the blacks are like 11-year-olds as adults, most of them. And so they know they're like children, and they treat them as children, and they teach them as children, and they, as they progress toward their hatred towards us, they begin to act out. Now, worldwide, there are even people that are black that don't believe in the multicultural game. They know this doesn't work. You can't force people to live together that don't want to live together. All that will happen is dissent, anger, destruction, death, etc. So this multicultural game, how long will we play along with it? How long will you say, oh yes, this is just what America needs. We need to be more diverse. Yeah. When in fact you don't even believe that. And you know damn right well, pardon my language, that you want to hang around with your own kind because it's natural. It's just the way it is. Just like they want to hang around with their own kind. It's natural for them as well. So how long will we play along with the multicultural game and say, oh yes, this is wonderful. Can you bring some more of these people into this nation, please? I'm just loving this. How long are you going to play that? Or the refugee gang. These aren't refugees. Did you really believe they were refugees? Have you looked at the people that are coming into Europe and America? Do they look like refugees to you? How long will you play along with that illusion? Until you're dead? How about the education game? How long will you pay the crazy prices to go to these colleges so that you can buy yourself a job which no longer exists? Pay crazy prices, and all you really get out of it is indoctrinated and hated upon in the colleges. Oh, do you agree with the, we should have, do you think it's healthy to have queers and, I don't know what they call those people, transsexuals. Do you think that that would be good to have them in the same bathroom with your children or your wife? Does that sound like you agree with that, right? That sounds like it's a good idea, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah, why don't you just put some alligators in the bathroom while you're at it? And that would be just as good as doing that. Would that make sense? What if we put something in that says that we can put some alligators in there and maybe some feral cats in your wife's bathrooms or in the men's bathrooms for that matter? Well, that would make sense, wouldn't it? How about some disease-ridden, like a dog, some dogs that have, you know, they're foaming at the mouth. Would you like to have some of those in your bathroom, too? You agree with that, don't you? How How about the political correctness game? How long will we go along with this nonsense? How long? Now, the French people don't go along with this political correctness, as far as I understand. And the more they try to shove it on them, the less they will be that way. You know how you end these things? Is you just don't adhere to it. I'm not politically correct. I'm going to speak my mind, whether you like it or whether you don't like it. And if everybody did it, what are they going to fire the whole world? See, what happens when people all believe something and they play along because of the fear, then they're stuck in it. But if we all just said, listen, we're not going to play along with this anymore, and we become politically incorrect. We don't go along with the idea of these refugees. These aren't refugees. These are warriors. We don't go along with the multicultural game because we want to be with our own. We don't believe that all the races are equal because they're not. And finally, the money game. And I mean, this is just a tip. We're just touching the tip. We could go so deep in this, it's incredible. How long will we go along with this Holocaust nonsense? How long? How long will we allow our judicial courts to throw the truth out of the court? And when you tell the truth, you go to prison. How long are we going to stand for that? How long do you want to stand? How long do you want to play along with these games, people? How long do you want to play along? Because all we have to do is stop playing along, and the house of cards comes down. And that's the mini message for today. Think on that for a while. You're being kept a prisoner in your own mind. Freedom of speech. There is no freedom of speech. And yet there is. If you want there to be, just don't play along anymore. It's time not to play along anymore. It's time not to pretend anymore like it's real when it's not real. How long do you want to pretend that these games are real? How long do you want to suffer for your pretense that these games are real is another question altogether. Now, before we go into the Proverbs, I'm going to go into the book of Daniel because I'm going to show you something, how the Proverbs or how the book of Daniel confirms what it says in the Proverbs is true. I'm going to show you how Yahweh, when he speaks and says, he who humbles himself shall be exalted, and he who exalts himself shall be humbled. That's a principle right out of the Proverbs. And it's all through the Proverbs. Daniel chapter 1, if you'd like to read along. King James Version. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, see, not king of the Jews, king of Judah. You see, this is as the Benjamin and Judahites were going to be taken captive in Babylon. So remember that the northern kingdom of Israel is above. This is King Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And Yahweh gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. Yahweh allowed this to happen, is what it's telling you. With part of the vessels of the house of Yahweh. See, he let these vessels go for a reason. When we will see that reason later. So, Nebuchadnezzar, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. See, his God is not Yahweh. His God says little g. See, this God with little g is the God of the Jews, is the God of Babylon, which are the Catholics, is the God of the Satanists, is the God of the Freemasons. Let me read it again. And Yahweh gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, Nebuchadnezzar, with part of the vessels of the house of God, capital G. I said Yahweh, capital G, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, little g. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God, little g. Or lowercase g. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel. He didn't say he should bring certain of the Jews. And I'm saying this for a reason, because there's something that happens in the book of Daniel a little later that puzzles me. So they should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, not of the Jews. Children in whom, although Jews ended up, some Jews ended up in Babylon with the children of Israel. You do understand that. So he wanted children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, which was probably pork, for the most part, or something crazy like that. You never know. So, and the king appointed them the daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank. So it must be good stuff if he's drinking it. That doesn't mean pig is good if he's eating it, though. So nourishing them for 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. They must have been thin at the time. So he wanted to make them a little fat, dumb, and happy quickly, you know, so they'd be well nourished. And then they could stand before him. Now among these were of the children of Judah. See, not of Jews, the children of Judah. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar. And to Hananiah of Shadrach. And to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. So he even changed their names. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel, or you could say now Yahweh had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Remember something now. What does it say in the book of Proverbs? He that has wisdom and knowledge will have favor with both God and man. And even though these are not Adam, they are Ish or, you know, sub-races. He had favor with them. They respected him. He was intelligent, had wisdom, and he obeyed Yahweh, which is wisdom, which is knowledge. Now Yahweh had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then ye shall make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of thy children that eat the portion of the king's meat, as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. So you can see that Daniel had wisdom here, and obeying Yahweh proves right again. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these 4 children, Yahweh gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding all visions and dreams, in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all of his realm. Why is that so? Because those astrologers and magicians are likely Jews, and are of the sub-races just like Nebuchadnezzar is. So of course they would be 10 times better. They're of the race of Adam. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Chapter 2. And in the 2nd year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, the Jews, yeah, and the astrologers, the Jews, and the sorcerers, the Jews. You know, we've seen this in many kingdoms, where they have these astrologers and everything to the king. They got themselves close to the king so they could advise him and so they could sway him. Who else would do that but the Jews? Now, there might be some other guy out there, maybe, but the Jews, I'm telling you, that's who they are here in this kingdom. So He got these astrologers and sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to shew the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream. Must have been Martin Luther King Jr. Yeah. I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will make up the interpretation. That's what he really means. Okay, I just changed that. And we will shew the interpretation. And when you say shew the interpretation, they'll make the interpretation fit. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. And if you shew the dream, and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore shew me the dream, and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show thee, or shew thee, the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of a certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see this thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me. See? He knows. The king's not stupid. Till the time be changed, he says. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can shew me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can shew the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asked such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can shew it before the king, except the gods, little g, the gods, whose dwelling is not with the flesh. Very interesting. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. See, and this includes Daniel and his fellows, so Yahweh does not wish this to happen, of course. Yahweh promised if you are wise, that it shall bring thee long life. Let's move along. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom. With counsel and wisdom. Where did he get that counsel and wisdom? From Yahweh. So he answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would shew the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven, of Yahweh, concerning the secret. See, Yahweh is the God, capital G, who reveals secrets to his people. Yes. The devil couldn't reveal this. With all his sorceries and all his magic and all his idiots, he couldn't reveal this. But Yahweh, the real God, the only God, he can reveal and will. So, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed. Now, this is a secret. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to reveal a secret to you that I have been involved in a long time, but didn't even realize that that's what I was doing. I'm going to teach you today, or Yahweh's going to teach you today, how to bless him. I hope you're listening. Listen very careful now. Then the secret was revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven, or Yahweh. Now listen, how did he bless him? Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings. He setteth up kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth in him. I thank thee," pay attention, "I thank thee and praise thee, O thou Yahweh, or God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." That's how you bless Yahweh. Honor and glory be to you, Father. Praise and honor and glory be to you forever and ever. That's how you bless the Father. "For thou art holy and alone our God." You know, you would say things like that. This is how you bless Yahweh. Begin to bless Yahweh in your life. Begin to thank him. That's how you bless him. "I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might." That's how you bless him. You want to be a blessing to Yahweh? Bless him in your prayer life. Thank him for revealing things to you. We shall see more examples of this as we move along in the book of Daniel. "Therefore Daniel went unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, 'Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will shew unto the king the interpretation.' Then Arioch brought Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, 'I have found a man of the captives of Judah.'" See, not a Jew. "I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation." The king answered and said unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof?" Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, shew unto the king. But there is a God, capital G, in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream." Now there's a key right there. What shall be known in the latter days? Yes, he's speaking to the king at this time. What will happen in his time? But these things can also translate to the latter days. So let me read that again, verse 28. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass there hereafter? And he revealeth secrets made known to thee, what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes. Even Yahweh was having mercy on the wise men of Babylon. After all, he had given Nebuchadnezzar this kingdom. That's why he's saying, but for their sakes, that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Now we know what this stone that was cut out without hands is. It's the kingdom of Yahweh. Notice how even Yahweh, when he's going after this image, he hits the weakest part of it first. Iron and clay don't mix. Therefore, that would break to pieces immediately and bring the whole house down. Do you understand? It's the same thing as I just spoke to you about. Once everybody says we're not going to play this politically correct game anymore, the house of cards falls down. You attack it at its weakest point. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together. And they became like chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, Mount Zion, I believe, and filled the whole earth. See, this king, this kingdom, and this king is going to be bigger than any of the kingdoms which we saw in this image. This kingdom shall outshine, is much, much huge, is the real deal. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom. Now listen, you must pay attention to this right here, because this is the key to what happens to Nebuchadnezzar. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. His kingdom came from Yahweh. His ability to have this kingdom and strength and power and glory came from Yahweh. This king knew this not. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh into pieces and subdueth all things, as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou saw iron mixed with the miry clay, And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. But they shall not cleave to one another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. The sons of God and the daughters of men. The fallen angels, the Nephilim. And in the days of all these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. Yes. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Now, the king has a very good response initially. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel. That's not the right response, but he should have worshipped Yahweh in heaven. And he commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God, now this is the right response. And the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God, capital G, is a God of gods, lower G, and the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets. Seest thou couldst reveal this secret. Proper. That's proper. So the king understood at this point. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief of the governors over the wise men of Babylon. You see, it's like I said again, through wisdom, the book of Proverbs tells us that you shall have favor with God and with man. If you desire wisdom, if you seek wisdom, if you love knowledge, if you love instruction. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Next chapter. Now remember, he just realized who made him the king that he is. He's going to make a bad move here. Let's hear what he does in chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 70 cubits and the breadth of 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. 60. 70 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura. Yeah, in the province of Babylon. Now, this is a bad thing he did here. He made an image of gold. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come and to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, now these could even be white people. It is true. I mean, I'm not exactly sure. But I can't imagine anybody but white people setting up a kingdom like this. But that's Yahweh's business. I'm not sure. I know that today's Iraq is Babylon. I'm not sure who lived in Babylon back in those days. Somebody might be able to tell you better than I could. So he sent for all these people and all the rulers of the provinces, which means Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." Now, you see, this is a wicked, wicked thing he's doing. And he's doing this shortly after he found out that the God of heaven is the God of gods. He said so. But somehow he forgot this. And instead of setting up a temple to Yahweh where people should worship Yahweh instead of images, he, like the Catholic Church, loved his images. And he set up an image of gold. Now, he was told, consequently, that the head of the image in his dream was gold. Do you think that this golden image is himself? I do. Therefore, at the time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all of the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now, see, here's where it gets freaky. Wherefore, at the time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever." See, these are the children of Judah. Now all of a sudden the word Jews is used. Little trickery there. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image." Now I'm going to tell you why I know it's not the Jews that are in Babylon. Because when the Jews were told in Spain that they either become Catholics or become killed, they converted to Catholicism, but secretly still, they were only pretending, but at least they did it, okay? So you're not going to tell me that this is Jews they're talking about when they're speaking of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because all through history, when the Jews have been forced to do something or get out, they will do it. They spake to the king and said, "King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Now see, these are the accusers of the brethren. You see, these are probably some of the people that Daniel had saved. These are probably some of the wise men, you see, that Daniel had purposed and Yahweh had purposed to save by shewing the interpretation of the dream, you'd see. And you see, as Daniel and Yahweh were merciful, these people are unmerciful. As soon as they get the chance, they put the knife in, which tells me they are the Jews. So it says in verse 12, here we are again, and I'm changing this word to Judeans. There are certain Jews, see, this is the trickery, I'm telling you right now, whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Now, these are the children of Israel, whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You see that by setting this up, Nebuchadnezzar was setting himself above God, that he was speaking blasphemies by doing what he was doing, that he was showing himself to be above God. In the same way as we see in the book of Revelation, that the man of desolation shall show that he is above God and say that, just like the Pope does, just like the Jews do. You get it? Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, see, they worked him up there, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake unto them and said, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do ye not serve my gods? Well, it says that it's his god, so maybe he doesn't believe it's him. I don't know. But I think it's him. Nor worship the golden image. Oh, okay, yeah. Nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now, if you be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of all the cornet, flute, haps, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast into the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? He's forgot all about it. He forgot all about Yahweh, whom he called the God of gods himself. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. See, the Jews worship gold. Of course they would worship it. Of course the Jews would do all these things. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So the men who were throwing them into the fire were burned and killed of the fire. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. I believe that means astonished. And rose up in haste and spake and said to his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. Oh, he remembers now. Come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors began being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach. See, he's going to bless Yahweh here. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, and they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God, capital G. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So it seems, again, the king now understands this is the second time he had to be shown that Yahweh is not your everyday little g. Chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. He's blessing God here. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, that's right. And his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house, and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore I made a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me. He hasn't got it yet, obviously. This guy, he's either somewhat psychopathic or whatever. He doesn't understand. Just bring Daniel in. No, he still wants to bring these Jews, magicians, astrologers, and Chaldeans in. But let's go through it. Therefore I made a decree to bring all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they may make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came the Jews. I put that in there for you. The magicians, the astrologers, and Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. So this time, even telling of the dream, last time there was no dream. They were to come up with what the dream was. This time, even being told the dream, they could not interpret it. They could not come up with a viable story, or they dared not come up with a pretend viable story. But at last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my G-O-D, small g, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, small g for some reason, I don't know why. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods, plural, see, he's got problems, is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee. Tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was the meat was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher, and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. Must be 7 years, I would say. This matter is by decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. See, the king had got it twice, but forgot it again. This dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof. For as much as all wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. And he's got that with little g. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonied, for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown, and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it. Leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, and even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, till 7 times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king. And this is the decree of the Most High, which cometh upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling place shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High, see, and 7 times pass over thee. He's giving him time to think, 7 years, let's say, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, the kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. So he's being taught a lesson. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, pay attention right now. Pay attention right now. Verse 30. The king spake and said, is it not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of my kingdom, of the kingdom, by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Let me read it again. Pay attention. This is Nebuchadnezzar speaking. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Now, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. Now, what is the principle there? This king was shown many things. He came to an understanding that Yahweh and his kingdom was greater than all other kingdoms, including this king's kingdom of Babylon. He forgot, set up gods, exalted himself, was shown more, brought down another notch, troubled with dreams again, shown more signs and wonders, came to the realization that Yahweh is the God of gods and that his kingdom is much bigger than any of the other kingdoms, including his. He blessed Yahweh. And yet still these words come out of his mouth. Is it not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? He exalted himself yet again. He knew that Daniel had told him in wisdom that Yahweh had given him and made him king and given him his honor and glory and everything in his kingdom to rule over. Yet he still is determined that he is the one that made this great kingdom, that he built it, and that it was for his power and his honor and his majesty. Therefore, he exalted himself. He who exalts himself shall be humbled. Do you now understand? He was not teachable. He was not humble. He was not obedient. He was not using signs of wisdom and knowledge. Though he had been shown great signs, though he had known at one time and then again that Yahweh was the king or the God of gods, the only real God, really, and that his kingdom would rule forever and ever and was above all kingdoms, as well as the Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, Babylon. He admitted it at a point, but still, like a psychopath who burns himself, will do the same thing the next time and the next time and never ever learns from the lessons that were to be taught of him. So, the Proverbs tells us to love instruction, to love knowledge, to keep it in the table of thine heart, to think before you speak, to think before you move, to think before your feet are caught up in evil traps. This king showed that he was lacking in wisdom, lacking in knowledge, and that he was incorrigible. He was unteachable. And so think about it. Here's what happens to the king, as you well know what will happen. And they shall, this is Yahweh speaking from heaven, or a voice from heaven. O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling place shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. Yes, he exalted himself, and now he is being humbled. Before pride comes destruction or a fall. I mean, after pride. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. Yes, he did it again. He blessed him again. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever. You now understand how to bless Yahweh. Even Nebuchadnezzar knows how to bless Yahweh. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. You see, as he's being re-exalted, he has shown that he has humbled himself by saying, Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the kingdom of heaven. And honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, 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 and his ways judgment, judgment, and those who walk in pride he is able to abase. Do you see how this is speaking to you? Now this is, we've gone through 4 chapters of Daniel right here. Out of 12. Do you see the principles of Yahweh? Do you see the principles of the Proverbs within these verses? Let's see what I can read here in chapter 10 of Proverbs. I don't know if I can get through it all, but I'll try. Pay attention now and listen carefully. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son, maketh a glad father. But a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. How can I prove that to you? Who comes to mind immediately when you hear this verse, this part of the verse? But a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Do you remember the foolish son Esau, who did not like the ways of Yahweh, who did not want the counsels of Yahweh, who did not want to know his ways, who did not keep his bloodline pure, though he was commanded to? Therefore, he is a foolish son. And you know, it says a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. You know that Rebecca, I believe that's her name, Isaac's wife, she was very upset about that he brought these Canaanite women home and married them. Married out of his race. He was a foolish son. He was foolish in that he lost his birthright. He was foolish in that he did not want Yahweh's counsel. He was foolish because he did not listen to his dad and mother. He was foolish because he did not listen to the counsel of wisdom. He was foolish because he lived and died by the sword and cared not about the counsel of Yahweh in heaven. Verse 2, treasures of the wickedness profit nothing. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Yahweh will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causeth shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence cover the mouth of the wicked. Do we hear that every day from these other races that want to just kill us? The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. What that means is when you know something, your brother has done something wrong or somebody you know has done something wrong, you should maybe talk about it to, you know, him himself, not talk about it to other people. Because of your hatred, you stir up strifes between the brethren. But love, if you loved your brother, you'd kind of cover his sins. Cover his shame, as you would want him to cover yours. I don't mean that you would be able to conceal it from Yahweh. That's not what it means. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is a strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. The fruit of the wicked is to sin. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. But he that refuseth reproof erreth. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Pay attention to that. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The blessing of Yahweh, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. It is as a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. We saw that with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they wanted the interpretation to the dream. As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. It's true, I've heard vinegar destroys your teeth. The fear of Yahweh prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of Yahweh is strength to the upright, but the destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Well, we got to some of the Proverbs. We'll go to chapter 11 next week. But I think we'll also continue to take a look in Daniel. Can you now see how it testifies of its own self? That Yahweh's proverbs are shown throughout the book. He who humbles himself shall be exalted. He who exalts himself shall be humbled. He who hates instruction is a fool, etc. It is time for us to love instruction once again and to seek the truth, that the truth may set us free. Begin your education today. Ask Yahweh for wisdom and knowledge. For, as you can see, we need it more than we ever have in these days. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James. Until next time, study to show thyself approved.